Hi, my name is Chris Stafford, A Few Left Standing, and this is my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. This week, I'm super excited to welcome Chris Stafford from Few Left Standing to the podcast. Chris talks about the band reuniting for Furnace Fest 2020, as well as their early days meeting Chad Johnson and watching their peers explode. It's a shorter conversation, but it is full of information and fun tidbits about Few Left Standing and the Memphis hardcore scene and Take Hold Records, plus a fun Bruce Fitzhugh story. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this week's episode. Before we jump into the conversation with Chris, I wanted to give a shout out to Corey and Scout Casto. Hopefully I'm saying your name right. Brand new Patreon supporters. Just wanted to give them a shout out. All Patreon supporters help keep the website running, keep the Simplecast site going, and make sure this podcast is up and online for you guys. I appreciate everybody who listens and everybody who shares an episode and is a fan of the Facebook page and engages on social media. But a special shout out to those who are Patreon supporters who help make running this podcast just a little bit easier. So thanks so much, Corey and Scout. Appreciate you guys. Keep rocking. So let's jump into this week's episode with Chris Stafford from Few Left Standing. Enjoy. Standing, you guys are returning for Furnace Fest. I'll ask the big question: why now? Why get together for Furnace Fest now?
That's good, man. Now it was funny because about I don't know, I guess 5-6 weeks ago, I was at CVS Pharmacy, I think it was, and I get a text from a number that I didn't know at the time, And it was like, hey, man, is this the Chris Stafford from Few Left Standing? And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know who this, but and it ended up being Chad Johnson.
Nice.
And so, you know, once I knew it was him, man, it was just so cool because I haven't talked to him in probably 17 years. And so he just said, hey, man, we just kind of got back, just talking and stuff. And then he finally just said, hey, man, look, I am going to attempt to do this Furnace Fest thing again in September. And what are the odds to get you guys to play it? And maybe that's the last thing I thought I would hear, I just thought he was just, want to just talk and just get back together and whatnot. And so I was like, wow, man, dude, I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to talk to the rest of these guys and see what's up. And, you know, there's never really been, all these tremendous any other opportunities that we've had to do, something like that. But, man, dude, for Chad and for what Furnace Fest was back in the day, it was something that we couldn't turn down, we were like, absolutely, sure,
That's awesome. Yeah, it's super cool. I'm super stoked for Furnace Fest and you guys performing again. Because I don't think I ever got to see If You Left Standing back in the day. Well, maybe at the... You guys played the first Furnace Fest, right?
Yes, and the second one.
And the second one. So I think at one of those two, I definitely saw If You Left Standing, but it's such a long time ago. All those festivals run together. So that's the present. Let's go back. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in Memphis, in a suburb called Bartlett. But, you know, for the most part, it was Memphis. Yeah.
Yeah. What was growing up like?
Man, it was a typical childhood. I did, tried sports a little bit and did this, did that, and never really grabbed a hold of anything that I was really, like, really, really good at until I discovered skateboarding and BMX riding, and then I got into that. And, that stuff was fun. And then, also just grew up just a normal just in a normal family, for the most part, for what I guess you could consider normal. But, grew up going to church and being affiliated with that. That's how I was raised. And, not anything too spectacular or just anything that's going to blow your mind. Like, wow, that guy did this, or that's what he did growing up. So.
Yeah. Was skateboarding and BMX your introduction into punk and hardcore and kind of what got you interested in music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it did. Those kind of go hand in hand, I think. At least back in the day it was. And so listening, skating and, like, riding and stuff like that, I'm I'm an old punk rock guy, and, some of my favorites were Descendants and Dead Kennedy and Black Flag and stuff. So I liked all that early on, and that stuff just really just blew my mind. Once you hear that kind of stuff, you're just like, man, this is what's out there. This is what really good music is.
Did you ever try to take up an instrument?
Actually, yes. For I was actually the original bass player for If You Left Standing, although we weren't called If You Left Standing at the time. We were the beginning process of it. So, yes, I attempted to play bass.
You attempted.
That's the key word. I attempted to play bass.
You quickly realized you were a much better vocalist, or...
Actually, I didn't know. It's just funny how things work out, because when we first started this, it was me and Jason and John, Jim, and this other guy named Joey. And I believe we called ourselves Broken at the time, but there was probably like 5 or 10 other bands called Broken at that point. That just seemed
right.
Seriously think there was probably like maybe 2 or 3 other bands called Broken, but we never got anywhere with it anyway. So it just kind of worked itself out. But yeah, man, I played bass for that and that just never, I guess the guys involved, we were really young and didn't, we're just really grasping, I guess, music and just trying to figure out what we wanted to do. And we really just wanted to play in Memphis, for the most part, because back then Memphis had a pretty good scene that, that we all went to shows and stuff. And, we had like crust punk and punk rock. We had His Heroes Gone and Pez. And several other great bands at the time. And so we just, we were going to shows and really just wanted to go, hey, you know, we just wanted to be a part of the Memphis scene and then do what all these other great bands that we were listening to were doing, you know?
Yeah. So did you have any other bands you were in before you left Standing or Broken?
Yeah. No. I was not. No, that was my first. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was just young and I didn't know. I just wanted to play music, you know, because I had seen all my, you know, I was getting into it and I was listening to all these bands and just going, man, this is so awesome, you know. And then going to shows, you start seeing, you know, the intensity and just the, you know, the whole vibe of, you know, hardcore punk rock and stuff. And I was just like, dude, man, I want to play. I just want to play music, you know?
Yeah. How did you discover you could be a hardcore vocalist?
That actually comes from what I just said, actually, really, is that we were playing, and that band Broken really never got off the ground. And several things, you know, one thing led to another, and we ended up just saying, you know what, dude, this ain't going to work out, really. And so we got a little frustrated, kind of like, man, that was like, you know, that was our opportunity. And then maybe about a month later, I remember it was either John or Jason had called me and said, hey, man, we really want to try this thing again. And except we're going to bring in, you know, we got a friend, Aaron, that used to play music with Jason and John when they were teenagers. So Jason, Aaron, and John have all known each other forever. And so they were like, yeah, man, we're going to bring Aaron in to play bass. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm the bass player. And then they were like, so, I mean, that was the point I realized I suck at playing bass. Because when the band members say, hey, we're going to bring this bass player in, that was their way of saying, Chris, you suck. So I was like, wait a minute, what am I going to do, you know? And they said, well, man, just try the vocals out. And so I remember going, okay, man, I don't know. I was like, I really wanted to play bass. You know, I really wanted to play bass. And so we've had a practice, and then it just happened, you know? And because we'd already written like 3 or 4 songs that we all really liked. And so I already knew the progression, and I knew the rhythm of the songs and stuff. So I just wrote some stuff, and then they were like, that's it. You're the vocalist. And so I was, you know, okay, cool. So, you know, I'm like, what do we do from here? Was not expecting any of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how that happened.
How'd you guys get connected with Chad Take Hold Records?
By a guy, we had just played maybe, you know, after the five of us that I just mentioned, after we started playing, we had maybe like a month's worth of practice. And then we had played maybe 2 or 3 shows here in Memphis, and which again, that was the only thing that we were concerned about. We just wanted to play Memphis, you know, and be a part of the scene. Our plan was never to get signed or do anything major. It was just to play, you know, downtown Memphis and maybe the surrounding area. And so after our like, 2nd or 3rd show, a guy, an old friend of ours by the name of Rocky Gillespie, he's passed away, and may he rest in peace. He passed away about 6 or 7 years ago. He was from Birmingham. And so he'd come up to Memphis, and he was listening to shows, you know, like going to shows and stuff. And he went back down and talked to Chad, who, at that time, Chad was doing Slacker 66, which was his record company, or his record store. Sorry, not the record company, but the store. And I think it was a skate shop, too. And that's where he started doing all the little small take-hold fests that he did. And so Rocky got us in touch with him, and Chad asked us to come down there and play, like, 2 weeks later. I think it might have been the first little small major, not major, the small Takeoff Fest, maybe the second one. But that's where we were introduced to him and to, you know, all those bands that Chad was working with at the time.
So your first record, Regeneration of Self, was produced by Bruce fit to you. Was that some recommendation of Chad, or is that something you guys pursued?
I knew Bruce from just going to shows, and we used to go to Little Rock to see them a whole lot at this really cool club called Nino's, is where I think Living Sacrifice played there like every weekend, it seemed like. And so, so we'd go out there and see them, and just, you know, when you're in the scene like that, or you're just going to shows and stuff, you get to talking to the bands, and somehow Bruce and I just kind of struck up a, you know, like a small friendship, and he knew I was from Memphis, and so I remember one day, I don't know if he was just trying to be friendly or if he was like legit, but he was like, hey man, if you ever get a band together, let me know. I'd be more than happy to help you guys out. And so I was like, now at that point I didn't know, and we weren't playing. And so I was just like, okay man, right on. Thanks. And then once we got in touch with Chad, and then, once he said, hey man, I want you guys, I want to help you guys make a record. I told them, I was like, dude, I know just the person to help us out. And so I'd gotten in touch with Bruce, and Bruce was like, yeah, man, let's do it. So it was pretty simple.
That's awesome. Just a friendship. And at that point, like, they had blown up after Reborn. So
yeah, Reborn had just come out. Yeah. So that blew our minds too. So it was like, gosh, they just dropped that. And Bruce is considered, maybe to a lot, Bruce is considered like the godfather of Christian metal, so it was cool to have someone like that that has experienced everything that he has and just has knowledge, and all the playtime and stuff that he does, for him to come in. And so, we were so excited. We were very, stoked to have him there.
That's cool. Who produced the second record?
It was recorded at Pointer's Palace, which is over there in Little Rock, where Living Sacrifice and Zayo and a bunch of other bands played. But we produced that ourselves, and with Chad's input. And so I think we might have made Bruce mad off the first one, so I don't think he wanted to have anything to do with that.
What would you have done to make him mad?
Nah, man, dude, we are four. Although we were old at the time, we were just hard headed. And what was funny about, and he are you know the sample at the beginning of Scourge?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
That's from the Evil Dead. And I remember. I think Jason was like, "Dude, we need to play this before that," and then we kept playing it. And Bruce was like, no, guys, I really don't think that really sounds like Popeye. And we just started dying laughing. We're like, Popeye? And all because I think he said no to it, that's why we did it.
Oh, man.
Seriously, all that went down. And so he was like, no, guys, that's not good. You really shouldn't do that. This is funny and silly and all, but no, I don't think so. And then we were like, we're doing it. That's it.
Oh, man, after the samples they had on Reborn, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul.
Swallow this.
Disbanded before Take Hold was bought out by Tooth and Nail, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah, what led you guys deciding to call it quits?
Man, it was just it was honestly just the time. God used us for what He wanted to use us for, and it was just the right time for us. You know, we were, like I, you know, jokingly said before, we were old at the time, but we were in our mid-20s, and we are, you know, so that really says how old we are now. So, you know, we have families, and, you know, I mean, transitioning into that phase of our lives, which we had wives and kids starting out the band. So, you know, when you're in that position and then trying to play in a band that does not pay at all, and, you know, I mean, doing it because that was our passion and doing it because we wanted to, you know, I mean, it was just time, you know. I mean, you know when it's, when the ends come, or you see the, you know, I mean, you see the, you know, future not being as bright or as open as it once was, you know.
Yeah. Were you guys aware of any uptick in interest after Solid State reissued Wormwood, or no?
Well, we knew about the interest, you know, when Brandon Ebel and you know, like Tooth and Nail or Solid State, whichever one you want to call them. But once they, you know, they were pursuing Chad and they were pursuing us. And Brandon Ebel had called me and, was showing, you know, like a lot of interest and just really, you know, talking us up and, you know, which was really cool, you know, to have interest, you know, from somebody, which was going back to Chad, you know, showing interest in it, in us. Man, Chad Johnson has the biggest heart I've ever met of anybody, and his love for people was what drew us to stay with Chad, and, or not stay with him, but just be with him, because Chad allowed us to do a lot of things that, you know, maybe most other bands weren't able to do through a contract, you know, because we couldn't tour full-time. We couldn't do a lot that was going to be asked of most bands at the time because we had families, you know, and we couldn't get time off for work. You know, we used vacation time up for work to go on, you know, some tours and stuff. And so then once, you know, going back to the Solid State, you know, Brandon was interested in us. And so, but at that moment, we weren't interested in going really anywhere else either. But it was going to happen regardless because, you know, Chad was selling Takehold.
Did you keep an eye on the scene and some of your Takehold label mates that went on to do other things after Solid State? Or after Solid State, Tooth and Nail bought out Takehold?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, man. You see Under Oath, you know, we saw them explode and I'm, you know, we were always fans, of 238. You know, Chris was a really cool guy.
And, yeah.
And a Tantrum of the Muse. And, you know, there was, it, you know, the way Chad did things, it was just really cool. And, you know, I mean, he gave a lot of bands some opportunities that maybe not, you know, may not have gotten the opportunity anywhere else. I don't know, but he, you know, seeing, you know, those bands progress on, I mean, we're very happy for him, you know, and, but we played with Under Oath back when Dallas Taylor was in Under Oath.
Yeah.
And on, you know, I mean, you know, since I said that, that just, you know, made me think about something. Man, our heart breaks for that guy, and if anyone could tell him that we're, you know, talking to him right now, or you know, like if he's listening, Dallas, man, we love you, and we, you know, I mean, we're praying for you, and we hope that you'll progress in your well-being, and, you know, I mean, it's just, but he's such a cool guy.
We'll be right back.
So you guys just had your first practice in what was that, 17 years? What was it like getting back in the saddle and doing few left standing again?
You know what? Just ironically, this past Saturday was our first official practice, all of us together again. And it went surprisingly well, actually. You know, it went way better than we all expected it to.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our theme song was written and composed by the legendary Bob Nanna. If you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes and give the show a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, click on the Patreon link at asthestorygrows.com. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening. I never felt so good.